Thank you. Thank you. Testing, can you hear me? Sometimes my life is like a field of failing grain, parched, dry, and wilted, needing a little rain. But then I remember days past and gone, how I reap from fields that I've never sown. I'm eating from the table, milk and honey thereupon, drinking from the fountain that flows from the living stone. I'm reaping from fields, Lord, that I've never sown. I've never had a day that I did not eat, or a place to lay my head down when it was time to sleep. I know I don't deserve all the blessings I've known. I'm reaping from fields, Lord, that I've never sown. When I look at my children, what a blessing they've been. And Lord, you sure have blessed me with a multitude of friends. When I stop and consider the mercy you've shown, I realize how much I'm reaping from fields I've never sown. I'm reaping from fields, Lord, that I've never sown. Feeding from the table, milk and honey thereupon. Drinking from the fountain that flows from the living stone. I'm reaping from fields, Lord, that I've never sown. I'm reaping from fields, Lord, that I've never sown. I hope that's your testimony as well. That's my testimony. I've been raised in church all my life. God has blessed me abundantly, and I don't deserve to be here this morning, but I'm thankful, and I'm aware of God's grace in my life. It's a great, great blessing, and it's a present that I continue to open my entire life, and it has never failed to be amazing when I stop and consider. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles this morning to Proverbs 25 and verse 28. Proverbs 25, 28. Thank you for the invitation to be here. I know that you had nothing to do with it, but I'm sure that you would have agreed. If they had asked you, they would have said, of course, let's bring the man in. Let's help the man out. I'm sure you would have said that if you had been given an opportunity, and so thank you. What time are we done here, Pastor? Doctor? 12:10. I have here that. Okay, we're good to go. Man is made up of how many parts? When you step back and look at the man, there's three separate parts. There is body, there's soul, and spirit. The body is the world-conscious part of you. The soul is the self-conscious part of you. That's the part of you that stands and looks in the mirror and frantically scrolls Instagram and Snapchat to see if anyone has liked you recently. That's the soul part of you. And then the spirit side of you is God consciousness. And if you look at it this way, when I was a kid, people used to play football. Nowadays, just, nobody plays it anymore, hardly, as far as pickup games. But football is made up of three parts. And that is the outside leather cover. That's the body. And then you have an inner, they call it the inner tube or the bladder of the football. I mean, how disgusting is that? And that's what it is. It's that rubber part. That's kind of like the soul. It's the same shape as the body. And when the rich man dies and goes to hell, he lifts up his what? his eyes. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. So the rich man in hell had eyes, he had a tongue, and we assume that he had the rest of his body as well. So the soul is just like the body. It's shaped like the body, but it is it's invisible. And it is a part of who you are. They say that people, even without limbs, sometimes will feel those things. And it seems as if they were there, and they're not. Then you have that's the outside of the football, then the rubber part. And then you have what is absolutely necessary. How many of you have gone to the garage or the shed, and you want to throw the old pigskin around, and it's deflated? And so you could still play. But the problem is it's not the same. And why? Because it's meant to have air inside. That's the spirit. So mankind is made up of body, soul, and spirit. The spirit of man is the control center for the soul and body. When a man is unsaved, there is no one at the control, so to speak. It's just flesh. It's just the body. It's just the urging of the body. Whatever your urges are, you will follow and you will do. The Bible says that the lusts of your father ye will do. Speaking of people whose father was the devil, you will do that. You're just like your dad, the Lord said, because your dad's the devil. And you're going to do what your dad says. Now, the spirit of man is that part. What's the Disney movie? Is it a Pixar movie? Or I can't remember who made it, but the all the little feelings and emotions inside, Inside Out. So if that helps you to think of it, that could be a way, because there's a lot of truth in that movie. The idea that your body is not who you are, which, by the way, is why we talk about it's not so important the brand of clothes that you wear. It's not so important the hair spray, the hair. I mean, no, don't spray your hair nowadays. Are you kidding me? No, straighten that out. Let's get it straight, as straight as a pin. Back in the day, let's get that hair up, let's get it up, let's curl it, let's spray it, let's make it gigantic. Big hair, don't care. That was the thing back in the day. But now the guys have the big hair and the girls have the very straight hair. Whatever, it comes and goes. But it doesn't really matter because that's not who you are anyhow. Your Instagram and the filters and all that stuff that we do. Hey, we all like people to like us. Don't get me wrong. I like people to like me. Does this tie look all right? This is the Marshall tartan from Scotland. You know what I'm saying? But this is not me. This is just what my body has on. Don't base your life on your outside because that's not where the real battle is. The man's spirit is the dominating, controlling force in a man's life. In the Old Testament and in the New, there are several different times that the spirit is mentioned. Listen to this, if you would. The craftsman that made Aaron's garments had a spirit. It was called the spirit of wisdom. The man whose wife committed adultery in the Old Testament had the spirit of jealousy. This is when the Bible uses this term, spirit. The Lord has the spirit of judgment, the spirit of burning, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That is a dominating or controlling force. In Luke 13, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. The demon-possessed girl in Acts 16 had a spirit of divination. Believers receive the spirit of adoption. The carnal man has the spirit of the world. Paul encouraged believers to have the spirit of meekness. Paul told us that the spirit of fear did not come from pride, did not come from God. The spirit of the Antichrist has been working in the world ever since Christ ascended to heaven. It's a spirit. It's a controlling thing. You ever have a situation where I had this multiple times, and I hope I never have it again. I probably will. When I'm playing certain sports, and there's something that comes over me where I want to destroy the other person. I don't care. Now, I want to beat them. I want to belittle them. I want to criticize them. I want to bring them down, 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 down. Now, that may be, for some of you, the spirit of envy. You see somebody else wearing something or looking a certain way, and you see how many likes they have, and you're like, oh, no, she didn't. She's not as great as that. I know her. Right? Or when you see, for guys, it could be different. Just this idea of, I'm going to take you down. That's a spirit that takes, it's a dominating, controlling force in your life. You don't feel that way all the time, necessarily. You wouldn't categorize yourself as just constantly wanting to tear everybody down. But it's almost as if a mindset that moves into your body somewhere, and it's just going to, it's like when you're getting ready to look at porn. You know you shouldn't look at it, but something takes over you, and you're going to do it. It doesn't matter what anybody else says, what you know is right or wrong. It's almost as like a spirit takes over you. It's a spirit, perhaps, of contention between you and other people. It's a spirit of rebellion that takes over. Your mom says something in a certain way or acts a certain way, and you just go off. And it's not, you don't even necessarily want, you didn't wake up thinking, I'm going off at my mom today. But she said it or he said it, and it's just, the principal says it or the teacher, and it's on. What is that? It's a spirit. This verse here that we're going to look at is a very important verse when it comes to this concept. Proverbs 25:28. Did you find it? He that hath no... Well, wait until you find it. 25:28. This is so important. We got to get this verse. We got to get it. 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. We normally see this verse as addressing those with anger issues, but it involves much more than that. The implication of this verse, how would you describe the city in this verse? Somebody raise your hand. Anybody got it? How would you describe the 25:28? What's the city like?
Defenseless.
That's a good word. That's another good D word. You guys have been in alliteration. That's good.
Vulnerable.
That's great. Anybody else? Any ladies? Any thoughts? Ladies? Good. Women are to keep silent in church. Amen. Amen. You've been well trained. I like that. The implication, well, they're not silent any other time, I know that much, amen. But the big question, will there be women in heaven? That's the big question when you think about it. The Bible says that in heaven there was silence for about the space of a half hour. And that's a very, very, I'm kidding, it's like a joke, all right? The implication here is that the man's spirit, this person's spirit, has been destroyed by an outside influence. Who would break down their own walls? Who would? I don't think we would. But it's destroyed. For what reason? Well, perhaps someone wasn't defending it. Remember Nehemiah, when Nehemiah went back to see Jerusalem? He said there that he asked his brethren, when he was still there in Babylon, he asked them, he said, what's going on with Jerusalem? What's happening? And they said this to him, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So I want to give you some points about the spirit of man. Number one, your spirit is a city that must be protected. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. See yourself as a city, inside out, remember? It is something, it depended on who got over the controls, right? And then secondly, without these walls of protection, this brother here used the word, which is a great word, your spirit is vulnerable to outside attacks from various spirits in the world. Ephesians 6:12, can anybody quote that for me? For we wrestle not, let's say it together if you know it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So what does that mean? We're not fighting against people. I know you think it's her or it's him that's your biggest problem in the world, but it's not. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The biggest problems you have are the spirits that are fighting against you. The spirits that are fighting. And make no mistake, there is a spirit of some kind, some maybe multiple spirits, that have a desire for Heritage Christian School. They want to do something at Heritage. If it's nothing else, then just destroy Heritage Christian School. Just completely destroy it. There's a spirit that wants to destroy your life and your home. Sometimes my wife and I will find ourselves getting at each other, criticizing, nitpicking one another and the kids, and everything is just an uproar, and we say, what is going on? You ever have that where you just, you can't be happy? No, I hate that kind of cereal. No, I hate this movie. Why are you watching? This is so stupid. Why do we have to listen to this music? Why? And everything is negative. It's like the guy that had Limburger cheese under his nose. You know, he said everywhere he went, this smells, that stinks. It was because he had Limburger cheese under his nose, so it doesn't matter what he smelled, that's what he smelled. Sometimes that's the way it is in life. It doesn't matter what your parents do for you, what the teachers say, or your friends try to, you're just negative. Can I tell you why? Because you don't have rule over your own spirit. You're vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and so forth and so on. That's some wild and crazy stuff. If you think about it, why do you know Frosted Flakes? What's the reason why you know about Frosted Flakes? Anybody tell you? Somebody tell me. Commercials. What are commercials? Are they living entities? What are they? What do they represent? They represent people who want to make money, yes? So they get together and they go, what if we had like this tiger and he had like a little cape and he's like, they're great! He's like, I like it, go with it. And so now, we all eat Frosted Flakes. Now some of you, that's disgusting, it's like eating sugar. Exactly. Right? The reason why is because there's somebody out there that has a mindset that says, I want them to eat this. It's an advertising guy. That's what it is. We are not just walking through the world doing our own thing. It's so hilarious. People go, no, I'd never wear that. I do my own thing. I wear this. You mean you wear what some guy or girl fashion designer determined that you were going to wear, right? I mean, you don't make your own clothes, I'm assuming. We all wear clothes that somebody else made. That means that there's somebody out there who has a design for me. They have a mission, a goal, a plan for me. And you're like, well, I bought into it, so I'm the one making the call. What if they hadn't designed it? What would you do? Right? The point I'm making here is that we are constantly being advertised to. We're constantly being in the physical realm. It's all over the place. It's the reason why Fortnite is so popular. Somebody decided that let's flip the model. Let's make it free and then charge for skins. How much bank did they make? Like tons. Tons and tons and tons. You know what? The reason why we do that, and now I know Fortnite's uncool. I know Battle Royale is all the thing, or something else next week. It'll be next week. Why? Because somebody else has a design for you. Can I tell you, in the spiritual realm, it's no different. The only thing is, did anybody see Brother Wissam back here? I did. Can you see me? Okay. You know, you can see kind of a little bit. You know, a spiritually minded person can see that which other people don't see. So you got this here and you can kind of see what's going on. You know, the goal of the Christian life is to wake up and realize this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. That's the goal of the Christian life. And see, what the world, the flesh, and the devil want to tell you, it's all about right now, it's all about lunch, which is coming soon, that's the only exciting time of the day. That's what it's all about. No, and I can get home, I can put my headset on, I can finally veg out, and I can do my thing. That's not what it's all about. You got to be able to see past this right here.
And one of the things you need to know is that the devil is out to attack you using spirits. He is bringing spirits, spiritual attacks against you. And your job and mine is to be ready. Now, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we are going to look at, we just read Ephesians 6:12, so let's continue on down the track. Ephesians chapter 6, we read verse 12. He says there, "Wherefore take unto you," verse 13, "the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." He's talking about having, again, a city that has walls, protection against unseen enemies. So number one, your city, your spirit is a city that must be protected. Number two, without those walls, your spirit is vulnerable to outside attacks. Let me show you how the enemy spirits work. Do you see verse 16 there? The fiery what? The fiery darts of the wicked. Enemy spirits are attempting to destroy your spirit. And here's how they do it. The wicked one throws thoughts at us. I believe those darts are thoughts. The wicked one throws a dart at you. And that dart is a thought that enters your mind. You ever had a situation where maybe you were even praying and all of a sudden the most horrible, wicked thought you could imagine comes into your mind? You ever have just a normal day and all of a sudden you have this wicked thought, this evil thought that you know is totally wrong? Where did it come from? I think it came from the devil. He threw it into your mind. So what happens? Those thoughts form feelings. And then those feelings create attitudes or spirits. So the thoughts come in, the thoughts make me feel a certain way, and then that feeling creates an attitude. Can I tell you why you're upset about things? It's not because of other people. It's because of something inside of you. That's why you're mad. That's why you throw fits. That's why you're a jerk. That's why you are ungrateful and so forth. It's because of your thoughts that have created feelings inside of you. And then those feelings or attitudes will dictate your actions. For instance, fear, worry, anxiety, concern. People are worried about things and have anxiety about things at a much higher rate than they ever have. Why? The devil is just having a heyday in the world. But what do we know? God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So where did that spirit of fear come from? It came from the devil. He put a thought, oh, what if I die? Right? And some of you are prone to anxiety attacks. What is that? A thought enters your mind, and because there's no boundaries, there's no walls of protection whatsoever, that thing just rolls throughout your head, and it's the mayor of the city. Today, the mayor of the city is fear of death. Today, the mayor of my town is sexual lust. Today, the mayor of my town is envy. It's whatever the devil decides is your particular poison. He throws it into your mind, and because you're not protected, you're going to be ruled by that thing. It could be lust. It could be depression. It could be feelings of weakness, insecurity, unworthiness, all those things. Look at chapter 5, if you would. Chapter 5. Number 3, God intends for your city to be ruled by the Holy Spirit. Now, we could call it a spirit city if you want to, but it's a city. He intends for your city to be ruled by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means 360 degrees, like a circumference. Circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You are to protect all 360 degrees of your city. You ever watch a war movie? Let's say Vietnam. There's a lot of these in Vietnam because they did a lot of missions, reconnaissance. So you have a point man, and the point man is walking in front, and he is looking 360 degrees all over. And he's the guy that's going to take it in the head. So he's the most concerned about what's happening. Everybody else is concerned too, but the point man's really concerned. You've got to be a point man, or point woman, in your life, 360 degrees. See, the devil is so good. He's so good at this. The devil knows. You can get up and you can read your Bible and pray and you can do all the stuff you're supposed to do, and you don't, you're just doing it because you're supposed to do it, but you're not really guarding, going, something bad could happen in my mind today and could ruin my day and could bring dishonor to the Lord today. It could happen. And you know what's weird is if you're not constantly, it's like you're over here reading your Bible, praying, and what does the devil do? He comes in from back here, doesn't he? Because you're supposed to walk circumspectly. Don't be a fool. Don't be an idiot. You know what he's going to do, right? I mean, if you were ever to chart your emotions, you could pretty much put a pattern down of how you're going to feel on a certain day. If you could chart the weather, I have a son that's weird. He likes it the other way. He doesn't like it when the sun is shining because it's like so bright. He just feels better, like there's less expected of him in the world when it's overcast. I'm like, you are the weirdest person on the planet. That's just, you know who I'm talking about, don't you? It's not John. Oh, it's crazy. So verse number 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Your enemies want to destroy you. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Okay, it's not just what you want, it's what God wants. Remember, God saved you, and he wants to run your life. And if you try to figure out how to run your life and throw God a bone, you're going to be a miserable Christian, and you're going to leave church. Because you can't do that. You have to surrender your life to God. God, what do you want? Well, God's going to take it and he's like going to ruin my life. Hello, McFly. God made you. He made you. Do you not think he knows how to run your life? I think he kind of does, and he's supposed to. By the way, God knows how to make you happy, too. God knows what, and so he says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What does God want? You know, some of you are miserable this morning because you've never asked God, what do you want in my life? It's always, so-and-so says this, and pastor says this, and what do you go by, Brother Sam?
Brother with Sam.
Brother with Sam, okay. I said, we Sam, and everybody laughed. I guess I said it wrong. I don't know. With Sam. Okay. What's up? With Sam. I can... Wasabi, amen. Some good stuff. He's a spicy guy, I can tell you that. Now, verse number 18. He says this, be not what? Drunk with wine. What does that matter? Because that is your flesh running your life. That is you doing what you want to do. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to rule your spirit. And then he gives three verses showing you how to make your city inviting to the Holy Spirit. Okay, you realize that it's not about you building up this amazing city and being this amazing person that never has depression, that never says the wrong thing, that always makes all kinds of money and is awesome every day. That's not what God is expecting. God is expecting you to take up all your stuff, pack up all your junk in plastic totes, and just put them somewhere in storage and say, Lord, I don't need anything in the city. This whole city is yours. You can have my entire life. Whatever you want to do, you come in and you run the city as you want to. That's called being filled with the Spirit. When you say no to your flesh and yes to God, you are opening up for the control of the Holy Spirit. You're bringing the Lord the key to the city of your heart. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and you say, Lord, here's the city. You can do whatever you want in my heart and life. I know I have plans for the future. I know I have desires for today and tomorrow and the weekend. I know I've got all this stuff, but I'm not going to let myself decide because I know I've messed it up too many times. And so I'm going to let you decide. Now here's what he says, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what would really radically transform your life? If you decided to start singing to the Lord and actually singing. What is singing? Singing is that boring time before we have to be really bored by the preaching. That's what most Christians think. It's boring part 1.0, and then there's boring part 2.0, which is the preaching. Hey, guys, I get it. But for me, singing is an expression of who I am. I don't need a personal logo like Baker Mayfield. What in the world was that? Unbelievable. I'm sorry. He's a great guy. I forgot we're in Cleveland. I like the Browns. I root for the Browns. But his personal logo is ridiculous. I just go out and say that. We don't need a personal logo, right? When you come to church, it's not about what you get entirely. Some of it is. Some of it is. But it is also about what you give. What you give. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I challenge you. Those of you that are the dark kind, you lean towards emos, you're like depressed all the time. I challenge you, when that starts, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came. You won't even be able to sing that song and stay depressed. And that's why you won't sing, because it's nice to be depressed. It makes me feel like the queen of the universe because no one understands me like me. I'm the greatest person in the world. It's a bunch of garbage. It's a bunch of garbage. You don't have rule over your own spirit. You won't be able to read porn, or look at porn, and sing a song to the Lord. Mark her down. You say, why are you saying that? Because people are looking at porn. It's ridiculous. And we're not supposed to talk about it, I guess. We're supposed to just let it go. By the way, it's not some special sin. It's a sin against God. It's wrong. Stop doing it. You say, I can't. Yeah, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I've been abased, I can abound, I've been full, I've been hungry. He said, I can do all things through Christ with strength. You can't quit porn, but Jesus Christ has the power to quit it for you. You can't quit your attitudes and your envy and your desire to be like other people, skinnier, fatter, taller, shorter, prettier, whatever. You can't do it in your own strength, ladies. Jesus Christ has the power to do what in your heart you want to do. By the way, that's Jesus Christ himself in you that desires to please God. And he alone can bring you the power. So how do you do it? Well, here's a couple ways. Number one, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. Number two, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what some of you need to do? You need to thank God for Heritage Christian School instead of complaining about the rules and complaining about the teachers and the principal and complaining about everything that you have to wear and complaining about the things, the schedule and blah, blah, blah. How about giving thanks? How many young people in North Korea right now would it would blow their mind to be around, number one, another Christian without getting jailed. Number two, go to a Christian school. They don't even know that such things exist. God's been good to you. You're reaping in fields you've never sown. What a great blessing. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm trying to say, if you gave thanks on purpose, you would not be able, it would be more difficult for the devil to control your city. Because you're putting up a wall. You're saying, I'm going to sing. That puts up a part of the wall. I am going to give thanks for my parents. Oh, my. Hey, believe me, if anybody is good at picking their parents apart, it's me. I don't know what it is. I just have jaw teeth as knives, Proverbs chapter 30. But you know what? I've got great parents. My parents love God. My parents care about me. I just met a guy on Sunday who does not know his dad. You know why? I don't want to offend anybody, little ears or whatever in here. But basically, let's say his mom went down and was impregnated by some, no one knows, by a test tube. I've got it pretty good. I've got it pretty good. This guy raised, he grew up and you. I don't even understand the challenges that must bring. Not just, I don't get to hang out with my dad. My dad is blah, blah, blah. I don't even know who my dad is. That's pretty crazy. And yet God has been very good to me. Giving thanks. Giving thanks for your siblings. Giving thanks for your teachers. Giving thanks for your church. Giving thanks for the abundance. How long could we go before we we died of hunger. We'd go pretty long. We'd go several days. Now, it'd be difficult and painful, but you know, there's people living around the world that they're like ready to go now because they don't have enough food. You and I have been pretty blessed, haven't we? That will help you guard your spirit, giving thanks. And then he says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, that will help your spirit. You know the reason why you get ticked off at other people? And I don't know if it's like this at Heritage Christian School. I think that this generation is a little different. The 80s and the 90s, it was kind of like, you know, we're going to rise up, you know, Red Dawn. We're going to take over. I mean, the entire countries can attack us, but the high school students are going to rise again. You know, we're going to, I don't know what that was all about, but nowadays everybody kind of like just go along, just subtly say things and quietly and nobody ever comes out. I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. True submission never goes out of style, and it's necessary in every generation. Two goats met on a mountain trail. The trail was so narrow that they could not pass one another. One was coming down, one was going up. Because the trail was so narrow, they had to make a decision. In order to make any kind of progress, one of them has to get down flat on the ground and let the other one go over top of them. And once that happens, they both can continue on their way. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So maybe this time, your mom is wrong. She's wrong. I mean, it's just wrong. You know what you need to do? Here's what you need to do. Now, don't laugh. Well, she's wrong. Yeah. So you're both two goats stuck on a mountain trail. Nobody's going anywhere. Because mom has it one way, you have another way, and that's all she wrote. And I don't care. I'm not moving. I'm not budging. It just must be the Scottish in me or the Zimbabwe in me. I don't know what it is. Right? We blame everybody else. You know what happens? You become controlled by the spirit of pride. Controlled. How do you want to make any progress? Somebody's got to humble themselves, submit to the other person. You want to fix your problem with your dad? Humble yourself to the man. Say this to your dad. Dad, what I said was wrong. I want to apologize to you for what I did. I shouldn't have done it. It was wrong. If you can't do that, heaven help you. You'll never be a good Christian if you can't apologize for something that you did wrong. You say, well, I have reasons. I know you do. Don't you know they have reasons too? And so we're stuck. You know the reason why people leave church? Because they get tired and sick and tired of the pastor, and they don't want to end blah, 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 blah. The pastor is easy. He's just a man. He's just like I am. I don't know, brother, with Sam, he's not anything special. He blah, 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 blah. And you know what it is? It's this right here. Boom, 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 boom. God always puts a person in your way to prove whether or not you're going to follow him. I don't necessarily like that fact, but it is true. Well, I'm surrendered to God. It's just this person I can't stand. Aha! God will put somebody, a person with skin on, in your way to prove whether or not you're going to follow God. That happens. That's happened to me I don't know how many times. About 1 trillion times, I think. Why? That's called being filled with the Spirit. You got to get rid of the stinking flesh. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, not the spirit of pride, not the spirit of competition, not the spirit of I'm the best. I'm going to make sure everybody knows I'm the best. So God intends for your spirit to be ruled by the Holy Spirit. And lastly this morning, number 4, my responsibility is to protect my spirit from enemies so that the Holy Spirit can rule my city. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, and we'll close out. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Remember our verse from Proverbs, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. My job is to protect my spirit from enemies so that the Holy Spirit can rule. Nehemiah, what did Nehemiah do? One of the things he did was he went into the temple and he cast forth Tobias's stuff. It was called household stuff. The guy's name was, Tobiah. And he cast out all his junk, and he said, get your junk out of God's house and keep it out. You ever see the YouTube video of the dad who took all the video games back when they were discs, and he put them in the lawn and ran over them with the lawnmower? And the kid is crying. He's like 20 years old. He's like, what are you doing? He's crying. I'm like, yes! Flame broil them. Melt them down into an award for biggest loser and give them to him. But that's what I was thinking. But I know video games. I know. It's wonderful. But anyhow. Okay. I don't even know what I'm going to say next other than look at my list. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:5. What Nehemiah did was he said, I'm getting sick and tired of you having your stuff in God's house. Get rid of it. That's your job, Christian. That's your job. Your job is to go into your heart and say, that doesn't belong to God. That's not surrendered to the Lord. That's a bad spirit. Well, I'm just waiting on, you know, somebody else. No, it's your city. Clean it up. Go into your heart. Look at the stuff. The attitudes, the problems, the stresses, the difficulties. Go into your heart and say, that's not God's. This is God's city. It's not your job to run your city. It's your job to protect your city so God can run it. See, God's not going to come down and do it all for you. You've got a job that you've got to do, and that is keep your heart clean. Clean it out and get rid of it. You say, well, I just feel that way. I just feel that way. Don't you realize homosexuals say the same thing? It's, I feel this way, so therefore I am a homosexual. Hello? Nobody ever says, well, I just have always liked robbing things, so I think I'm a thief. It's the same exact logic. It's the same thing. Well, I was born to lie, okay? So don't judge. What? No, it's a sin. It's wrong. You say, well, I had a homosexual thought. It's a sin. Get rid of it. You're not special because you had a sinful thought. It's wrong according to what? According to the immutable power of the Word of God. It's wrong. It always has been and always will be. I'm sorry if the world makes you think that's a special thing. It's not the same as civil rights movement, people. It's not. Now, I don't know if you thought about that, but it's... Now, are we finally... Okay, calm down. All right, here we go. We're going to close. 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 5. This is your job and mine as a believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let me get this. I only have one verse. Verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, and we do, right? Smack your face. Ow! We walk, that's your flesh. We do not war after the flesh. You can't get a hold and do something to your spirit. It's not a physical thing. It's inside. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That is, they're not made of flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Some of you guys have let your city go for so long, you have a stronghold of pride. You have a fortress, a castle of lust in your heart. But God can pull down the stronghold. How do you do it? Casting down imaginations, verse number 5, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful verse? It's casting down imaginations, images in your mind. You have a thought, you think long enough, that thought is going to create an image that's an imagination in your mind. Casting those down. So my job is to be like Barney Fife and to walk through my heart and say, who are you? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. You, out. That's my job. Bringing into into captivity every thought. So I have a wandering thought of depression and just so, you know, sometimes I have suicidal thoughts. Get over yourself. Now, I realize I'm not trying to make light of that. What I'm trying to show you is if it's a sin, it's a sin. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. It's not your job to take your life when you feel like it. It's God's job to take you when he's done with you. So I have this thought, and I just sometimes feel like this thought is just there, and I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. Arrest the thought and take it to jail and say, hey, no. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And you bring it to Jesus, and you say, Jesus, this thought's in my mind. Is it right? And the Lord will say, no, it's not right. Kick it out. It doesn't get to run loose in your city. It gets arrested, brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And you might have a whole jail full of wicked thoughts and pride, but that's where it's supposed to be, in jail. You say, well, I can't believe as a Christian I have these thoughts. Hey, you're going to have them the rest of your life. And if not those thoughts, other thoughts. You're going to struggle with something. Envy, fear, anxiety, pride, lust, whatever it is. You go through your heart as a deputy sheriff. You're not the sheriff, but you're a deputy. You've been deputized by God himself to go throughout your heart and say, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. And you bring those thoughts into captivity. Why? Because God wants to rule your heart. A good leader rounds up criminals and does not allow those criminals to exert influence on society. The reason why you're struggling in your life and your heart is because you have thoughts, you have a spirit that has been exerting influence in your life. It's not been brought to the authority or the obedience of Christ. It's been doing its own thing. And then you have competing thoughts, competing spirits, and now you have a whole city full of drug lords that are running your heart. And they're fighting and they're killing. How much crime is committed because gangs are fighting? How many terrible days do you have because you have competing drug lords in your heart that are trying to destroy one another, and nobody's listening to God? Everybody's doing their own thing. You say, I just wish someone would come in and... No. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. You know the reason why you're scared of what's outside your house and what's going to happen? Spiritually speaking, you're scared. This is all happening to me. This, I can't, because you're lazy. You need to get up and you need to say this. God's given me a deputy's badge to go through my heart and to say, I am not going to allow you to run my life. You are not going to tell me how to feel. You're not going to dictate what kind of a week I'm going to have at school, how I'm going to respond to my parents. You're not going to run my life because God owns me. He's in charge of my city. And I'm not going to have a city that's broken down and without walls. I want to bring all these things to God so that Christ may have the preeminence, that he is all and in all of my life. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I pray for these young folks here that you would help each of them to take a sincere look in their heart and whatever the urges might be they have right now, help them to be able to identify them as enemy spirits. Lord, if they are pulling them away, if those spirits are pulling people away from a love for you, from an understanding of the goodness of God, from a thankful heart, from a joyful spirit, Lord, I pray you'd help them to recognize that that's not of God, that's of the devil. And he's trying to bring them down. Lord, sometimes we just don't even realize what's happening in our heart. We just get so caught up in the busyness of the world, and Lord, we're confused, and I guess sometimes our heads are spinning. Lord, help us to be quiet, to be still and know that you are God, and then help us to take the word of God and go through our hearts and distinctly recognize what spirit is trying to influence and exert influence over us. Lord, if there's somebody here that has something that maybe it's been a real challenge, Lord, maybe there's just some enemy that's just taken up residence in their heart, help them to remember that the power of God can destroy strongholds in the heart. Thank you so much for that promise in your word. Help us to memorize your word and help us to use it. Help us to be good stewards of the city that you've given us so that you can run it the way it should be run. Thank you for these young people. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Wissam.